Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. This is the broadcast for January the 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is indeed hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And man, we have an incredible, special two-hour guest today. His name is Dale Hutchinson, ladies and gentlemen, and his podcast says this: we are here to inform the public and you about our history and how it's affecting us today. Check out Dale's podcast, coffee-time-again.com, and it's kind of the idea that we just chat as brothers and sisters, as God's children around the coffee table, and we learn together, and we explore incredible topics together. And man, is it a cool, unique, fascinating learning experience. Last hour with Dale, we talked about, you know, the fact that Dale's a Convention of the States supporter. Sam is not. But watch us agree to disagree agreeably. Something we really need to learn more about in America today. I'll tell you that right now. And by the way, I've created a website. It's called callforcivility.com. All spelled out, callforcivility.com. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. You can sign our pledge, if you will. You can learn about our goals to push towards civility in America, because I'm telling you right now, divided we all fall, okay? We've got to set aside any little differences we may have and work with those who we agree with. Hey, Dale and I don't agree on the state convention, but we understand each other's point of view. First, you got to learn to listen and then understand before you try to make your points. And then when you make your points, understand that people can think for themselves. I agree with the points Dale's making, and he agrees with the points that I'm making. We still feel as we do, though. Just because we're not changing our opinions on the matter, we can seek to gain understanding is the key here, folks. All right? We then talked to Dale about his personal battle with alcoholism. And ultimately, he is now recovered, a term in the Bible, a term that God gives as he helps all of us through mortality and through this life. Okay, how is an addict different than an alcoholic? Dale says there's no difference. I agree. What is meant by recovered? Well, God talks about the healing that only he can provide. We talked about the state of mental health in America and pointed to real solutions last hour. This hour, we're going to talk about a lot more, ladies and gentlemen. Dale Hutchinson, welcome back, my friend. And you asked this question: what is a constitutional conservative? Good question. People are debating that till the cows come home, but we can add our two cents, right?
Yes, we can. And thank you for having me back for the second hour. I'm enjoying this. A constitutional conservative is someone who believes strongly in the Constitution, believes that it is able to be changed if need be, and it is the whole reason we have the United States of America. Is the Constitution, is the glue that holds our country together, and we're messing with it. Congress has to have a constitutional reason to pass a law. And the one they use most often is the Eighth Amendment dealing with, not the Eighth Amendment, the Eighth Article, Article 8, dealing with commerce. Now you tell me how some of the things Congress passes has anything to do with interstate commerce.
Well, it doesn't, and you got to say this, if you're talking about a constitutional conservative, you might say it's just the simple rejection of socialism and the progressive movement.
Amen.
That's a starting point, but is there more?
Not really. When you're talking about the progressive and the left, that all started with Woodrow Wilson, but we won't go into him. He's one of our worst presidents ever. But the progressive movement and the left, there isn't a lot of difference. And then in my opinion, there's not a whole lot of difference between the right or the left, the Republicans or the Democrats, in my opinion. It's the reason I'm a constitutionalist. There's a Constitution Party in Colorado. I haven't joined yet, but I'm going to be going to before the next election. So I can vote my conscience and vote the way I believe. instead of having the two. There's more than two choices. There's more than Democrats, more than Republicans. So look at your state and see if they got a constitution party and join it. Along with God, we can't survive this country. Or save this country, I meant to say.
Amen to that. I would say this, though. What is a constitutional conservative? Is it simply the rejection of socialism and the progressive movement? I say that it's more. And I'll tell you what I would call a constitutional conservative. There's a difference between a constitutional conservative and just a conservative, by the way. A conservative just has a different viewpoint than the socialists and the communists and everything else. But a constitutional conservative looks, and this is what the Founding Fathers really brought to the table, that really in history had not been tried or done before, and that is simply this. There is a greater source of authority and power outside of ourselves that is not government. And they understood this. They didn't break down the keys to theology. They didn't argue about semantics of religion. But they understood that the Judeo-Christian values were the key to success. And they looked to God. The founders said, hey, if a sparrow, you know, can't fall without God's notice, can we expect the nation to rise without his aid? And the answer was clearly no. And they understood that there's a source of power greater than us as individuals, greater than government, that we can look to for, you could say, religiously salvation, or you could say, from a country point of view, for success in this incredible balance between tyranny and liberty. How do you get that balance? Too much liberty creates anarchy. Too much tyranny. Okay, how do you get that balance? And the proper role of constitutional government, biblically ordained with checks and balances, looking to God rather than government, is the answer. So I would say that a constitutional conservative is someone who looks to God, not government, for answers. It looks to God for guidance and instruction rather than government. You can have the Ten Commandments or the Ten Gazillion Commandments. Which will it be? A constitutional conservative looks to those checks and balances, looks to that God-ordained proper role of government. That would be my response, Dale.
Well, I think it's a good response, because that's pretty much the way I feel, is without God in our country, I mean, starting with our president all the way down to the page in the Senate, we've got to have God. We've got to just pray and serve God and do as he requests, because he tells us what we need to do. And he also helps us in uncompromising ways that are just absolutely incredible. So I think you're right on that. It's a good definition. It's one I hadn't thought of, but I think it's a good definition.
All right, so the headline for that, ladies and gentlemen, what is a constitutional conservative? Is it just simply the rejection of socialism and the progressive movement, or is it more? It's kind of the headline that I have, because I say it's a whole lot more. You know, we got a lot to discuss. I want to talk about history and how it affects today's world, because that's one of the real points that your podcast hits on, right, Dale?
Yes, it is. And the way history affects us is if the country, this world that forgets its history, has no future. That's how it affects us directly. Good example is in the Civil War, President Lincoln tried to get a graduated income tax passed, and it was declared unconstitutional. In 1913, with President Wilson, he got a constitutional amendment to give us a graduated income tax. And it was never going to go more than 7% and would affect only the rich. This was said in 1913. What are you hearing today? It's only going to affect the rich, and it'll never go above X amount of dollars, a percentage rate of your income, when it's already at 90-some% for some people.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You read in the Bible that taxes were grievous to be born, and they weren't taxed near like we're taxed. I mean, talk about grievous to be born. Woo-wee!
Yeah. And we can go, like I said, we can go clear back to the Civil War and find out about these income taxes and look what Lincoln tried to do and got slapped down. Wilson got a constitutional amendment passed and ratified in record time on the promise that it would never go above 7% and would affect only the rich. Well, the rich back then made $3,000 a year.
Wow. So, taxes certainly are progressive. They're certainly unconstitutional. They literally tried throughout history to force this progressive agenda on us. We rejected it many, many times and wise to do so, but we finally caved. Their persistence paid off. Man, our prayers are that we were so persistent, huh, Dale?
Yes. Income tax, or any kind of tax, actually, is not only unconstitutional. You know how the government supported itself prior to the income tax? It sold land.
They had apportionment taxes, number one, and then they also had tariffs at the border, basically saying, hey, if you want to play in the greatest economy in the world, by all means, come on in. Maybe take your coat off. But it wasn't on the backs of the American people, that's for sure.
No, and they sold a lot of their land, especially around the railroads, and that's where Andrew Jackson got all his money and his corruption from, was selling land around the railroads when he was president.
Well, speaking of taxes, it gets more abusive as time goes on. Headline says, IRS now outsources what's called online security to a private company. They're going to now require video selfies. Those will be required for some online functions by this summer. Ladies and gentlemen, they're getting out of control. We got to push back and put a stop to this. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Dale Hutchinson with me. Extended incredible interview on your radio. His website, coffee-time-again.com.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. The Dale Hutchinson special extended interview continued. Dale's a podcaster in his own right, ladies and gentlemen. Coffee-time-again.com. Check it out. We're talking about what's a constitutional conservative. Is it simply the rejection of socialism and the progressive movement, or is it more? I submit that it's much more. We turn to God Almighty is the unique key the founders understood and embraced, and that we need to continue with if we want our liberty to remain, ladies and gentlemen. How does history affect today's world? Wow, it repeats itself, number one. Number two, you can look back at it and make sure we don't make the same mistakes they made then. We can also look at the successes of history and do our very best to double down, triple down, quadruple down, and repeat them. The IRS outsources what they call online security to a private company. They say video selfies will be required for some online functions this summer. We got to stop them. Folks, they're out of control. Do you want to be forced to do a video selfie to the IRS? I think not, ladies and gentlemen. I think not indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about this headline too with Dale, and I want to get his take on this. Headline says this: Doomsday Clock is staying very close to doom. Whoa. The world remains stuck in a very extreme, dangerous moment, they say. It's 100 seconds to midnight. Midnight's doomsday, if you will. And my response, I'll get to in just a second on this, but folks, that's what they're saying. I didn't know it was doom time. I mean, I've heard it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and I've heard it's beer 30, and I've heard all these weird things. But folks, I didn't know that it was doom time. 100 seconds to doom time, they claim. Dale, your response first, and then I'll give you my take on this.
Well, the doomsday clock was created back during the Cold War. And just how close are we to nuclear war? And right now it's saying 100 seconds away, and most of that's because of the strife on the Ukrainian-Russian border. And Putin's reaction to it is just absolutely irreversibly inconsiderable wrong. He needs to take, Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly but carry a big stick. We no longer have a big stick. He's deflated the military to the point that they're almost ineffectual. And that's my take, and the being so close to the doomsday. And it scares the living Jesus out of me, if the truth be told. I don't mean to phrase it that way, but it does scare me that we're that close to the doomsday clock. And I think that all comes from the Ukrainian biggest issues with Ukraine, but our biggest worry is China. Even though the Ukraine's a big story, China, and the close ties Biden has with China is just sickening, in my opinion.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we got to take a page out of the historical playbook of the Founding Fathers here for a second. They really wisely warned, and the greatest general, in my mind, in American history, General George Washington, his view was, and the American Founding Fathers' view was, you know what? Let's avoid these foreign entanglements like the plague. As you mentioned, let's walk softly and carry a big stick. Let's prepare for war so that we're ready if it comes upon us unwarranted, undesired. But let's not agitate. Let's not stick our nose where it doesn't belong. Let's have a humble foreign policy. And that's what the Republicans advocate for on the campaign trail. That's not what they do when they get in power, sadly, sometimes. But, folks, we have got to take a step back from this. My comment when they say the doomsday clock is staying very close to doom, the world's in a very difficult place, I agree that it's true. I also agree, though, that you cannot double down and fearmonger, ladies and gentlemen. You got to have more trust in we the people and in the American dream and vision, and you got to have more trust in God than that. Yes, we're there, but why are we there, and what can we do to back away from there? And that's really, in my mind, what we need to focus on. Rather than painting a headline like this and doubling down into the fear, narrative, why don't we double down into the hope and faith that, you know what, we can back away, that we can allow appropriate talks and leadership and diplomatic relations move forward? Why don't we teach that, you know, you can learn how to get along with friends and influence people in meaningful ways, but you can't do it by force. You can't do it by mandate. You can't do it saying, hey, man, I'm the big guy on the block. You listen to me. Sit down. Shut up. That ain't going to work. You're not going to do it that way. Now, I'm not saying these people are polite, good people that we should just run around and have, you know, crumpets and tea with. I'm not saying that. But I am saying there's a lot to negotiation, a lot to the humble foreign policy of George Washington, a lot to understand that if we're not careful, we create this CIA-documented principle called blowback. You got to be very careful here, and you got to lead by example and lead with love and lead with patience. And you need leadership there, really, is the takeaway. The fear-mongering has got to stop, Dale.
Well, to a certain degree, I agree with you. The fear-mongering has to stop, because the more we rattle sabers, the more they rattle sabers. And pretty soon somebody's going to go off half-cocked and we've got a World War III on our hands. But do you know when the first Gulf War was?
Oh, early 90s?
1803.
Okay.
President Thomas Jefferson sent the Marines over to the capital of Iraq, because they were having trouble with radical Muslims, and it took him 13 years And that's where this entanglement started. Plus, we had treaties with Britain, trade agreements with Britain and France at the time. That was principally Benjamin Franklin's doing with France, getting trade agreements, and because he was ambassador to France at the time.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You learn something about history and from history every day. This has been an ongoing battle, and the problem is you're not going to solve the world's problems by 3 o'clock. The problem is you're not going to do well by getting engaged in every conflict. This humble foreign policy, I get that you got to defend our borders and defend our nation's interests. I get that, and I accept that. But there's a term called just war that you got to understand, too. And most of the time, we're on the unjust side of the discussion. Sadly but true, Dale.
Sadly but true, we've never won a war since World War II. We've lost every war since World War II.
And I'm not sure we won World War II either, necessarily.
Well, I'm not so sure either sometimes myself when I look at the economy of the world. The thing is, we've lost the wars due to politics, due to not obeying the Constitution. They were political wars, especially Vietnam was totally political.
All right, so, the world remains stuck at a very dangerous moment, they say. Doomsday clock is staying close to doom. I understand that, but I think the first way we solve this is we jettison the fear-mongering. That doesn't mean that we don't do anything and that we think China's great. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that we're not going to do any good by provoking these other interests that may have a whole lot less moral compass than we have, and those groups who may take things to the next level to make a point or not thinking through it properly. We need to be the cool heads here, folks, is the main point that I'm getting at. And I'm just telling you right now, to run these doomsday clock discussions just aren't really helpful because they're subjective. You know, the doomsday clock could be really close, could be far away, only God knows. But what we can do is control our actions and not peddle fear, peddle faith, not peddle discouragement, peddle hope, promote hope. And we got to do that, whether it be the COVID, whether it be war, whether it be global warming, whether you agree or disagree on that, we've got to take a step back. And the reason that I highlight this so much, Dale, is because I believe that the mental health of our nation's at stake over some of these things, too. People are in panic on every front.
I agree. People are in panic on every front. The big headline, even I don't watch the news, I don't watch television hardly at all, but I knew about the doomsday clock. That's how much they put it out there. That's that fear-mongering. They want us kept in fear. That's one of the ways they control us. That's how the government, one of the major ways that we are controlled by our government is through fear. As Franklin Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. I guess that was Churchill that said that. I'm sorry. Churchill said that. And that's true. And we're being controlled through our governments from national to local with fear.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the big topics, too, is this human trafficking. We hear so much on the border, so much around the world about human trafficking, and this is a serious, serious, serious issue. I don't mean to be doomsday on the issue, and I don't mean to peddle fear, but I do need to really highlight this is something that we better get a handle on because, sadly, it's getting much worse. It's getting more abusive, more hostile, more well-funded, more highly organized than it's ever been before, and we better take this topic seriously as well. I don't want to paint fear around it. I do want to point to education regarding it, Dale.
I totally agree with you on that. Human trafficking.
All right, hang on. When we get back, sorry to feed it to you right at the pause. Let me take a quick pause. We'll come right back and give you plenty of time to respond. Dale Hutchinson with us, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible topics on your radio, huh? You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Winter weather is still affecting the east as for the second weekend in a row, a huge winter storm has rolled its way through the Carolinas. John Millwood is a Clinton, South Carolina resident who says he's never seen the region get that kind of winter weather before.
Very unusual. Very unusual. Like I said, I'm 54 and I've never seen weather like this in quite a long time.
Federal authorities officially declaring last week's hostage standoff at a Texas synagogue an act of terrorism. The assistant to the president for Homeland Security, Jill Sanborn, says the FBI is treating that standoff as an act of terrorism that targeted the Jewish community. Sanborn made the comment yesterday on a conference call with reporters. Malik Akram last week took four people hostage at Congregation Beth Israel near Fort Worth before he was fatally shot by law enforcement. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn-Root. It's official. Inflation is at its highest level since the 1980s, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What most people don't know is that it's actually much worse. Inflation may be higher now than the 1980s, since the new measurements exclude food and energy. Gas prices up 58%, energy up 33%. What can you do about it? Protect yourself and your family. Only gold, silver, and other hard assets give you true protection. My friends at Tangible Investments guarantee the absolute lowest prices on precious metals. Check them out at TII1.com or call 800-300-8441. Tangible Investments has 40 years of experience and billions, that's with a B, billions in transactions. Call 800-300-8441 if you want help with gold, silver, platinum. They guarantee you the best prices plus excellent service. Call Tangible Investments now, 800-300-8441, or visit TII1.com. They also provide free verbal appraisals.
The U.S. Supreme Court says it will revisit a 2020 decision concerning a native land dispute in Oklahoma. Reports are justices will consider limiting the court's decision in McGirt v. Oklahoma, which ruled that a large part of that state's eastern region was an Indian reservation. While they said that they won't overturn the ruling, the justices said they will look at the state's ability to prosecute crimes that happen on native land, and the case will be argued in April. A story labeled Truck Full of Monkeys. Pennsylvania authorities are searching for loose primates after a dump truck collided with a truck full of monkeys. No human injuries reported after the truck that was carrying about 100 monkeys crashed on Route 54 in Montour County on Friday night. Troopers say at least three of the animals got loose after the crash, and they're still at large. Reports are that truck was on its way to an area laboratory before the collision. This is USA Radio News.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest riding shotgun on the show today, Dale Hutchinson. The Dale Hutchinson wide-ranging special extended interview continued, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a lot of topics, aren't we? Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the importance of real education in America. We're talking about the serious issue of human trafficking. You were saying, Dale?
It's getting so prevalent, it's doubling in profits every year. It's multi-billion dollar. And the people think, well, it's just women that are trafficking. No, they're trafficking boys and men, too, to work as slaves. And in the sex trade as well, men and boys in the sex trade as well as women and girls. And they're coming across our border, our open borders, by the hundreds. And they're going out of our country. They're being taken, our children and family and friends are being taken for export to other countries. So it's a two-way street, and it's going right through our southern border. And some of it's actually going through our northern border as well. You know, everybody hears about the southern border, but nobody pays attention to what's going up on the northern border. And they're coming through that way, and they're going out that way. So human trafficking is absolutely, in my opinion, the most horrendous thing you can do to a human being. And we need to stop it. And we stop it by educating our families, our friends. We stop it by interdiction. We stop it by closing the border and looking at these. You hear these unaccompanied minors coming over. And they're not unaccompanied. They're just being watched very closely by somebody from to make sure they make it so they can be trafficked.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's scary. It's concerning. It's something that we must not take lightly. It's something that we need to turn to God for guidance on. something that we need to go to work, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us to stop. It's not something that we can just shake our head and go, oh, that's horrible, and then let somebody else solve the problem. It's something that we need to literally get involved in. Real education about this is critical and key. So, ladies and gentlemen, on Dale's podcast, coffee-time-again.com, he talks about some of these hard-hitting topics. You know, the importance of real education in America, the serious issue of human trafficking. We talk about history. How does history affect today's world? You know, what is a constitutional conservative? The relative reality of history and how it affects us today. But he also takes on lighter topics, too. What of your currently published topics is your biggest passion, would you say, Dale?
The current published one that I have is my interview with Douglas Hughes. It's a video. It's an hour long, but I've got one coming up on capitalism. I did one on socialism, now I'm doing one on capitalism, and that's my current passion, is to get that one published. And all I got to do is learn how to read it so I don't make any mistakes and get it recorded and uploaded. Because it's very important that we look at capitalism and how it's been since before our country was a country, going back to the Mayflower, and how capitalism has built this country. And what are we talking about, these people complaining about these rich people, you know, oh, they got all that money, well, well, have you ever taken a job from a poor man? Think about that. The only job I ever took from a poor man was myself, and that was doing this podcast.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You also asked the question, why move to Belize, right?
Yeah. Belize is an interest. I've been studying Belize since 2014, and it's an interesting country. It's English-speaking. It's a socialist country, don't get me wrong, and it's a third-world country, very third-world country. But it's got some beautiful scenery. It's got some wonderful people. I know I've met some people from Belize. I've talked to them, and they're wonderful, wonderful people, very friendly, very outgoing. The economy is stable. It's paid at, the exchange rate is pegged at 2-1. It means it never fluctuates. It always stays the same. The official language is English because it was a British colony and is now part of the British Crown, the Commonwealth of Nations, they call it, kind of like Australia and Canada are. You know, the head of state's the Queen of England, but they got a prime minister and a parliament. It's just a small population, 3,500, something like 3,500, I think it is. 35,000, sorry, I'll get it right here in a minute. So it's just a wonderful place to go. Go for a visit, and I'm going to move down there sooner or later.
Wow. Is it a lot less expensive in Belize?
Oh, yes, 2-1. It's half the cost. One U.S. dollar equals 2 Belize dollars. And the exchange rate is pegged. It doesn't go anyplace. It stays at 2-1. It doesn't move. So many of you go to Costa Rica, you hear a lot about Costa Rica, people moving there. Well, their exchange rate fluctuates so much, you can never know what it's going to cost you. In Belize, you know. 2-1.
All right. Why move to Belize? A great question. I personally want to stay in America because America has the Constitution. Although we got a lot of problems in America, I get it, because we're turning away from the principles that made America great. But we have the seeds for solution, is what I like to say. We have the answers here. I want to stay in the greatest, freest country on the planet.
Well, you said at the beginning I was 71. Well, I turned 72 here short last Thursday.
Well, happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. And I'm getting to the point where I need a chance to just relax and not have to fight every time I turn around. I don't want to fight the weather here in Colorado. I'm getting tired. I'm getting old. I need a place I can go relax. Go downtown and have a cup of coffee and sit on the veranda and watch the people.
You want to have coffee time again in Belize, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, his podcast is fascinating. You were mentioning to me when I called you, I always call a lot of our guests and talk to them a little bit before I bring them on the air. And the reason that I do that is because it helps me actually be educated and help them get out the word, help them tell their story, help them. And the more I know about them and the more I'm kind of learn about them and who they are and what they do, there's a uniqueness to that that you can't get if you don't talk to your guests ahead of time. So anyway, I always do this due diligence because I believe there's a difference between the good and the great broadcasters. And the difference is how much work they do on the ground, right, beforehand. It's like a good sports reporter. The more they know about the stats and the more they do their digging and the more prepared they are, the better off the job they do. Anyway, I digress, except to say that when I called Dale ahead of time, he mentioned that he was getting ready to do a podcast on, what was that, something to do with flight, right?
Yes, that's the one with Douglas Hughes. And he flew a gyrocopter from Gettysburg to the Capitol building and landed on the lawn with 535 letters for the members of Congress to get the corruption out of, get the money out of Congress on how to do it. And that's that podcast I talked about with Douglas Hughes. And he made that.
And that happened back in 2015 that he did this, right?
April 15th, 2015, yes. And it made national news back then, but it's since kind of faded out, like the government's trying not to keep it tamped down on what he wants to. He's got an excellent plan. I suggest you listen to it. I don't want to go into it because that's his bailiwick, but Douglas Hughes has got an excellent plan on how to bring K Street at PAX out of politics. In case you don't know, K Street is where all the lobbyists stay, work, out of K Street in Washington, D.C., which is across the street from the Capitol. So they don't have to walk over to the Capitol building to talk to these congressmen. They don't actually outright bribe anymore. That doesn't happen much. But they're bribing our congressmen and our senators for a lot of different
ways.
Yeah,
they usually just do kind of the lobby plan. Let's just smooze and hang out and talk. And believe it or not, it's a serious, serious issue.
Yes.
That most people don't know, you know, a lot about. They don't realize how much money really flows. They don't realize what it really consists of. And it's consistent. And it's expensive, and it really creates compromise, folks. Believe it or not, Amazon, for example, and Facebook parent company now called Meta spent more money in 2021 lobbying lawmakers and officials, more so than any prior year. That's according to what they call lobby disclosure filings, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen. Amazon spent $20.3 million on lobbying. Think about that.
That's a lot of money. I didn't know how much.
They say the figures are huge, but you got $20 million in 1 year alone by Amazon. And then, let's see, how much is it? Oh, while Meta, I guess Meta spent $20 million also.
Yeah.
So you look at that and you go, oh, 20.3 by one company, 20.1 million by the other company. So $40 million on lobbying between those two companies alone.
Yes.
To make the point. The numbers are shocking, is the point. All right. When we come back, I want to talk more about Dale's podcast. He talks about this incredible flight that was done by this gyrocopter. And it was done for really to try to get press coverage to highlight the importance of these issues back in 2015. Incredible interview. We don't want to cover the interview. We want to tease the topic. So you need to go to coffee-time-again.com and you can listen to the whole thing. We want to tease the interview here and point you there. How's that? Quick pause. More in seconds on radio.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Dale Hutchinson, wide-ranging special two-hour interview continues, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about a gyrocopter flown to the Capitol 2015 to highlight, it was on what, April 15th, 2015, tax day, to kind of highlight the corruption of bureaucrats and professional do-gooders, ladies and gentlemen. A great interview about that on Dale's website, promoting his podcast at coffee-time-again.com. But Amazon and parent company for Facebook called Meta spent more this or last year, 2021, lobbying lawmakers and officials than any year before. Literally $20.3 million and $20.1 million respectively. Those two companies, $40 million alone, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, a shame that is, and it highlights that. Anyway, check out that podcast that Dale did with Doug at coffee-time-again.com. And I want to talk about this American Airlines flight. It's a headline. Here's what the headline says. American Airlines flight returns to Florida after woman refuses to mask up. Flight to London ends up back in Miami. I guess the lady did not get arrested, but she's banned from flying on American Airlines going forward till they get this resolved. All the other passengers had to book other flights and everything else to try to get to London. I mean, this is disaster on steroids, folks. This is crazy. You're letting the unique battle about masks, whether they're safe or effective or not, whether you should be forced to wear them or not, discussions, all these political realities spilling into people's lives in very destructive ways that just genders anger and frustration and turmoil and division. It's disaster, folks. Now, I don't care how you feel about masks. I'm against forced masks. I'm all for anybody who wants to wear a mask or not. I'm all for your agency. I'm just not for the force plan. I find that doesn't work out. Force doesn't work out very well. That's Satan's plan. Nevertheless, I bring this up because all the other passengers' lives were extremely disrupted. And I got a question. Why does being back in Miami, why is that a better plan than just finishing and going to London and then escorting this lady off the plane or whatever else, doing with her whatever you want to do? Fine. But why turn the plane around and just take everybody back? I don't see how that solves anything, Dale.
It doesn't solve a thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. It cost, the cost alone, not just to the airline, but to the people who had to book other flights, may have had to pay extra money to get that flight to London. And they would, why disrupt 120 other people for one person? I'm with you. I'm against forced masking and mandated masking. And by the way, so is the Supreme Court. And a federal judge also just yesterday blocked the federal government having to mask. So even the courts are against forced masking, and that sounds right to me. If you want to wear a mask, that's fine. Be my guest. I don't want to. I do, because I'm a law-abiding citizen. But I just think it's ridiculous. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. And it cost American Airlines a lot of money to turn that plane around. It costs a lot of money to do that.
But it's in ridiculous. My mind, even beyond the money that it cost, though, what about the disruption of all these people's lives? I don't know if they were going to weddings in London or if they had business meetings in London or, you know, I don't know what their personal life narratives relate to. But look, These people wanted to be where they were, and then they got all stopped, all turned around, all big old hassle, had to reschedule flights, get there late.
Yeah,
flight to London ends up back in Miami. What a unnecessary disruption. And what do we accomplish?
Nothing.
The only thing we accomplished is this dishonest rhetoric that says you will wear a mask or else. Now everybody's afraid to not wear a mask because they're afraid if they push back on that it'll disrupt so many other lives, they don't dare do it. It's this narrative of force that I'm rejecting, Dale.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you on that too, that we're forced to wear mandates, that we're forced to wear masks, and how effective they are is absolutely beyond me. But the point is, we're being forced to do something by our government for no good reason, in my opinion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, this force is what I'm rejecting here.
Yes.
And the authority to force, I'm even questioning more than even the force itself. Where does this authority come from? We the people, according to the Declaration of Independence, never gave our consent. You know, they derive their just power from the consent of the governed, is the phrase from the Declaration of Independence. I don't see how we gave consent to this at all. Now, I got an email from the 10th Amendment Center, some of our good friends over there that I wanted to highlight and mention, too, before we round out the hour with our incredible guest, Dale Hutchinson, ladies and gentlemen. I want to highlight this headline. Here it is. Nullify federal gun control status report. Okay, we've got to nullify now, ladies and gentlemen, these federal gun control discussions. Whether you're for or guns isn't the point. You got to nullify now federal gun control. We have authority to do this, ladies and gentlemen, and we must step up now. Whether you agree that we should have guns or not, it is the law of the land. Don't let them circumvent the law without authority is really the takeaway on this one, Dale.
The takeaway is the 10th Amendment says all powers not given to the government by this document belong to the people. So we do have the power to stop it, like you said, according to the Constitution and the 10th Amendment. And the important part about the 2nd Amendment, which I'm not a gun owner, but I don't begrudge anybody who owns guns. However, the last four words of the 2nd Amendment are the key operative words here. Shall not be infringed, which makes every gun law unconstitutional. Every one of them.
All right, let me highlight the consistency. Let me highlight the consistency that you're delivering here, Dale. What did you just say about guns?
All the laws against gun control, all gun control laws are unconstitutional.
All right, now you were saying that you're really not for guns, right?
No, I'm not against guns. I'm not for guns.
Okay, so understand, and here's why I'm pointing out the consistency, ladies and gentlemen. He understands that whether he's for guns or not, that it's the law of the land. And it's up to agency and individuals. And it's about our God-given inalienable right of self-defense that's at discussion here. How you feel about going about that's your own deal. But understand the law. The constitutional law of the supreme law of our land says, hey, you have a right to keep and bear arms, and that right will not be infringed. So I'm pointing out how consistent Dale is in his understanding here, because that's what we need, is people who consistently apply principles, Dale.
Yes, absolutely. They've got to apply the principles. They've got to have a set of principles and then follow them themselves, and they get those principles through God.
All right, before we end the hour, I want to know if you have any predictions for 2022. I basically am highlighting this term called Operation Truth Tellers. That's guys like me and you that can agree to disagree when we do, but can work together on so many other issues. But my predictions for 2022 is Operation Truth Tellers. And our greater numbers will hold the government that will force the truth and reject the deception of the federal government in bed with the dishonest media. That's what I predict for 2022. We're holding them to account like nobody's business, Dale.
Good, because we need to. That's the reason that I exist as my podcast. It's the reason you exist in your podcast, is to get the truth out there so people can have a choice. And the choice they make of where we're going to be. And my prediction is that the people will find the truth, and the truth is the government's corrupt, and do something about it, starting at the top and working its way down to the bottom. I mean, at the precinct level, in the counties and precincts, there's corruption. And the people in USA Truesayers will prevail.
Ladies and gentlemen, our greater numbers will be the key here. There's more of us than there are of them. Never forget that reality, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe what I'm calling it Operation Truth Tellers, where we're all telling the tale of liberty, ladies and gentlemen. And our greater numbers as truth tellers will force the truth and will reject the deceptive narrative of the government in bed with the dishonest media. That's what my prediction is for 2022. What's your prediction, Dale? Any predictions?
No, I don't have any predictions, really. I don't particularly, you know, trust my own predictions because I've been wrong so many times that I just don't have any. I have expectations that we will prevail.
How about your hopes then for 2022? Let's talk about that for a minute.
My hopes for 2022 is that we have a year that this stuff about COVID ends. You know, that they get rid of they're not going to get rid of the Spanish flu is still here from 1913. So COVID's going to be around forever. It's an avian flu. It's a bird flu. Come from bats. And they're around forever. But we need to get away from the fear because the flu, the actual influenza flu, killed more people than COVID did in 2020. Or 2021, I'm sorry. You can't find numbers unless you really dig deep, but they're there. That the influenza killed more people and more children than COVID.
Well, and there's even important information now showing that the vaccines, believe it or not, are killing more people than the COVID did as well. The government database, the VARS database or whatever, shows 21,000 people dead from vaccines. But really, experts now in the field and at collegiate institutions and everything else are saying that it's 20 times that. That'd be 400,000+. And then furthermore, we're getting more and more evidence around the world that the vaccines are really creating death and destruction as well. So again, whether you agree with the vaccines or not, folks, is not the important point. The important point is agency, letting people, self-determining people decide for themselves and understanding that these forced vaccinations have got to stop. Now, if you want to take the vaccine, if you do your due diligence and research and you feel like vaccines are great, by all means, go ahead. But you need to let people decide for themselves. And the problem that we have is we don't have a transparent discussion. We don't have a candid look into all sides of the discussions and the studies. We've been lied to for the last 2 years on this stuff, folks. And I demand accountability and transparency. I demand that they release all the information so people, informed Americans, can decide for themselves. And then I think we need to back that. The courts are starting to back that, thank heavens, because Joe Biden's on a bender. It's got to be stopped. At the same time, there are answers, folks, and the answers lie in we the people. Final word to you, Dale.
Final word to me is I'm against forced anything by the government, whether it's vaccination or guns or whatever. I'm against it. We need to take our power back, and you're right, we have enough people to do it. We can take our power back under the Constitution and straighten this mess up and get back to the Constitution, get back to the checks and balances, and run this country the way it was supposed to be ran by our government.
Ladies and gentlemen, the proper role of government's what we advocate for. Don't let them lie to you and teach that we're anti-government. That's a lie. We back the proper role of constitutional limited government, replete with checks and balances and a whole lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, Dale Hutchinson was our special two-hour extended interview guest. We are here to inform the public and you about how history is affecting us today. That's the premise of his podcast. You can learn more at coffee-time-again. I had a great time with Coffee Time, and I don't even drink coffee. How do you like that? All right, there you go. Coffee Time Again with dashes. coffee-timeagain.com to learn more. Thank you so much, Dale. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally to the cause. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to all of you. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.